afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Monday edition of the Dark Delight podcast with Beans. We were gone for about a week. I had a little vacation. It was much needed. Rest, rejuvenate, refresh. However, this week I had the honor and the privilege of traveling down to Venice, Florida, brought my hubby with me. It was really, really awesome to see the premiere of the Flynn documentary. And I was honored to be in that documentary, and I recorded it over a year ago. It was really, really, really good. Place was packed. I did a stream on X live from there at the end during the QA session. It's not just because I'm in it. As a matter of fact, I'd probably not tell you about it if it was bad because I wouldn't want everyone to see it if I was in it and it was me. But it was really, really, really good. It was an honor to go down there. It was an honor to see the first showing. It was an honor to see the final product for the first time. There were a bunch of people there. I got to say hello to Jesse Banal. I got to say hello to the Flynn family, who I know very well now. It was an experience. And it brought me back to that time covering that stuff 18 hours a day, 7 days a week. One of the biggest scandals in American history, Spygate, and what they did to people. And this film did a really good job of telling the story of General Flynn from the beginning, military-wise, through Spygate. I recommend everybody, please go consider purchasing a copy of this. It's available everywhere. You can use my link. It's flynnmovie.com/beans. And let's see. Got a couple of photos from the, I don't usually take pictures. I'm not one of those people. However, I did it this time just to be, you know, here's me and Will. Love him. He looks so good. I can't. This is me. The end of the night in front of the Flynn movie bus. Deliver the truth, whatever the cost. There we go. What else? I have this live stream here. This guy. I pray on my dear God, don't you let them break his bones. Just a beautiful song. I don't know what the name of the song is. I don't know that dude's name, but the voice on this one was incredible. And then somewhere in the middle, they called me up to the stage. I did a little pan of, that's the director. I did a little pan of the audience. I just want you to see how many people were there. Place was packed. Packed. I had them all do a little, let's see if it'll play for me. I had them all do like a standing ovation for themselves. Quite incredible experience. It's not gonna, thanks X. X is not going to cooperate with me, but that was about 30 minutes long. Me and Gigi. Again, me and Will. It was just a great time. Here's me in the hotel beforehand. Like, I'll take a picture. Anyway, it was really good. Definitely see the movie. Really, 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 really recommend it highly. And bring tissues. Bring them. You're going to need them. So before we get into the heavy stuff or somewhat heavy stuff, I have two clips that I saw this morning that literally brought tears to my eyes. So I want you guys to all get your tissues out. Let's start the day off on a happy foot. I'm going to show you these two clips. And then we're going to move on to Eclipse Day. We've got Eclipse Day. We've got bird flu. We've got Paxlovid study. We have an absolutely ridiculous story about a active duty Air Force member who was labeled an enemy or an insurgent, I believe. We'll go through it. But there's a lot to cover, so I don't want to take too much time on this. But I need to start you off with something happy. So here we go. We're going to start the day off with these two amazing, amazing stories. Here's one. It could be better with sound. Here we go. All right.
For the last game of the season, Coach Johnson decided to let Jason actually suit up. Not to play necessarily, just to let him feel what it's like to wear a jersey. At least that was the plan. But with 4 minutes to go in last week's game, Coach Johnson stood up and pointed to number 52, Jason McElwain. After years of fetching water and toweling off other people's sweat, Jason was actually in a game. His first shot was a 20-footer from the right baseline.
Was it close? Did you almost make
it? I just airballed it.
His second shot missed too, but the third was a charm. A three-point no-doubter. And Jason wasn't done yet. Not by a long shot. Jason ended up shooting 6 3-pointers. One right after the other. He had 20 points total. And each time a shot went in, his teammates and the crowd went a little crazier. His last basket, right at the buzzer, created total mayhem. Because he is autistic, Jason says he's used to feeling different. But never this different. Never this wonderful.
Just a beautiful story. And so, you know, what's common underneath these videos on X is like when somebody posts theirs in the comments, people will post other ones. And then I watched this one, and this one is incredible. This one is incredible. Hold on.
Why are you still mad?
Hold on. This little boy thinks that his dad forgot his birthday. I just want you guys to watch this. It's something else. Here we go.
Y'all, are you still mad at me? Huh? For what?
Big game today. Big game today. I gotta get something out the trunk. Go get that bag for me out the trunk.
Go get that box out of there for me. Shit. Happy birthday. Don't cry. You're about to make me cry. Don't cry. Pull it out. Let the world see it. I ain't forget about you. Yeah. I wanna see some home runs. I love you. How you gonna knock it out the bar? There you go. Right. Yup. Happy birthday. Alright. We gonna go to this game and hit some home runs, right? That's right. I got it! Yeah! Yeah! I caught it, boo! I caught it, baby! Yeah! Way to go, boo! Thanks, home run, kid! Thank you!
The dad caught the kid's home run with the bat he just bought him for his birthday. How much better can you get than that? What an amazing, just tears streaming down my face. Oh my gosh, beautiful. Remember, we're gonna get to all the crap. We're gonna get to it, trust me, we will. But please take time to also remember how good humanity is. How joyful people are in moments like this. It's so important. We need a balance. We need a balance. Some happy with some crap. So now let's get into some crap. But that was happy. And I just... Woo! Caught the home run ball. Caught it. Caught it. This is why I never miss a game. Not a practice, not a game. Beautiful, beautiful memories. Beautiful memories. So now that we've talked about that stuff, let's get into today, which is Eclipse Day. Today is Eclipse Day. I want to send a massive thank you to Lauren. You'll know her on Twitter as some bitch I know. She provided this handy dandy little link to the eclipse tracker. So today is the full eclipse. We did a whole big show on all the crazy around it on Friday before we left. And you can actually click on this map and put in your location and find like a slider view of what you'll see. So somebody in the audience, throw out a town that you live in. Come on. Make it easy enough I can find it on this damn map. And we'll take a look at what you're going to see today as the eclipse happens. And it's like a couple hours. It's from like 1:30-ish, depending on where you are, to like 4. Huntsville, let's say Detroit, Michigan. Well, I got Huntsville first, so... let's see here. They should have it. Here we go. Huntsville, Alabama. It sometime today it'll find you over in Huntsville. Come on. Ugh. Give me a minute. Let me refresh. Just a spinny wheel. That's all I got is a spinny wheel. I got a spinny wheel. That's it. All right. Let me try this again. Too many people. I will put this in the chat or in the show notes so you guys can do it yourself. Let me see if this will work now. Hold on. I'm going to click over here in Huntsville. We'll do it one more time. But it worked on the pre-show and it worked every time I've tried. But we're live now. And so why wouldn't it? Here we go. It's not working. This thing was working, I promise. But anyway, basically what you get is a graph like this. This is for Baltimore, Maryland. There's sliders here. You can change the speed on the bottom. You can fine time it. But what it does is basically as you slide, it'll show you exactly what you're going to see. So obviously Maryland is not getting totality. You'll see what you're going to see. It's really interesting, nifty little tool. I am about 70% totality. And I saw full totality back in 2017, so I'm not jealous. I'm actually honored that I was able to be in a place where I could see it. So that's a cool thing. But people are still hamping, you know, like kind of beating the drum of this.
Cautions before a big travel day is smart. If you'll be traveling around Ohio, motorists should be sure to frequently top off their gas tanks. And to fully charge their electric vehicles. Have a preparedness kit in your car and items like paper maps, snacks, drinks, cash, and a cell phone charger. It's a good idea also to have a communications plan if you're traveling with your family or friends in case you're separated. Know where to meet up. Have a place to meet up. Know where to take shelter if there's an event. Having those discussions ahead of time are critically important to help thwart any type of confusion that may happen in large crowds. And while traveling...
Now, the thing that I think when I'm watching this is telling everybody to frequently and then frequently tap off their gas tanks. Aren't there going to be lines at every damn gas station that you drive by at that point? Like, isn't everyone going to be at a gas station at some point in time? Now, the problem... is going to be, let's see, a lot of places are under cloud cover, like Austin. You've got clouds and rain, okay? That sucks. All these people drove all the way out there. They've got clouds and rain. Let's see, New York eclipse forecast. Yeah. Although the possibility of clear skies in Rochester still remains, it's quite slim. So people may have just driven all the way across the country to see something that you can't see because the clouds are covering it. Oops. Now, the indigenous people say it's not just your eyes that you need to protect with the glasses. And reminder, everybody, do not drive. Do not drive with those glasses on. That's actually warning that's being given out. Some believe you should wear black if you're pregnant. Keep infants away from windows. Scientists will look out for odd behavior in animals. It just, You ever, you know, when there's a full moon and then everybody goes nuts because there's a full moon and, you know, the emergency rooms are crazy and everything's crazy. Well, these folks, some from Costa Rica, some from elsewhere, think that it has other effects. The Mayans, the Navajo look at it as a holistic thing. Full prayer and reverence during the eclipse, focused on the concept of the sun or the moon or going through an ending, and we're about to pray for the ending of bad or evil or the ending of the phases of life. And then birth and renewal. So it's a very interesting time. And we'll have that today for a couple hours. Pretty much anywhere in the country is going to see something. It's not like when you get comets and stuff and you can't see them unless you're in a certain place. So everybody get ready. It's eclipse day. Now, we also have this weird contagious thing going on social media where everyone's saying that there's something called eclipse sickness causing weird feelings like headaches and insomnia. And because we can all talk to each other about this stuff, we're seeing it everywhere. Humans have been watching total eclipses since the dawn of written history, and while they used to be viewed with much suspicion, in modern times, for the most part, it's seen as something to be marveled at instead of feared. However, there are still some people who view the eclipse with unease, and users have been taking to X to describe some strange symptoms. One person said, "I've been feeling physically sick for a few days now, and I feel like it's because of the Mercury retrograde and the upcoming solar eclipse." Now, listen. The planets, the moon controls our tide. So to pretend as though the moon has no impact on our physiology when we're made of water, to me, just from a very basic level, is silly. The Mercury retrograde thing, you can ask pretty much anyone and someone will tell you that I know a friend who says their electronics don't work during a Mercury retrograde. So a lot of people are talking about all these weird symptoms they have. What I'm going to do is enjoy it because it doesn't happen often. We're getting two in a span of 6-7 years. And I think it's great. Will the total eclipse disrupt your cell service? As darkness envelops millions of people during Monday's total solar eclipse, spectators will hold their cell phone skyward to capture the moment. But could a surge in cell usage cause networks to go dark? It's like 2000 all over again. AT&T anticipates an increase in network traffic as people pick up their devices to capture and share content. So watch out, everyone. Watch out. And there you go. Now, we're going to move on to the bird flu. So I've been seeing, this is H5N1, the bird flu. I've been seeing a lot of people sharing stuff on this because obviously when you start hearing the chatter and, you know, whatever, and you remember and you think about COVID and, you know, we flash back to that. In the beginning of COVID, they were very calm about it and they didn't do really much. Oh, no, it's okay. It's all right. Blah, blah, blah. We have the bird flu that has spread to dairy or to dairy animals, to cows. We had one person who was in contact with an infected herd come down with H5N1, which is very rare in and of itself as per everything we know about H5N1. But, you know, everybody freaks out because they're doing gain of function research and you're going to get like a little bit shoddy about, you know, about this stuff. Now, obviously COVID was made in a lab. It was not animal to human transmission, but they're constantly trying to get animal to human transmission successfully. So this dude gets pink eye. Dr. Bowden says they're trying to make pink eye national news to show how viruses can jump from animals to humans in anticipation of Peter Daszak's upcoming appearance in front of the COVID Select Committee. Don't fall for it. Loads of propaganda all over. But I just want to say something, okay, before we even move on and talk about any of this. the whole Marburg scare that came out months back, I was constantly saying, guys, don't even worry about this. It is like a fear-mongering campaign. Why is that? Because when a virus has a very, very high fatality rate, it cannot, very, 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 very small, teeny, teeny chance, it becomes a pandemic. And especially not a global pandemic. Why? Because hosts die before they can transmit the virus. It kills the host before it can be transmitted. This H5N1, there have been 900 cases of it in humans. All of those cases where people have had contact with sick animals, just understand this. And that's a 50% fatality rate. Now, the CDC has come out and already said, this is one of the most prepared for types of pandemics. We know everything about this virus. We know how it works. We know how it spreads. We have antivirals. We have this. We have that. We have this. A virus, there's going to be two angles to this. There's going to be the angle of fear-mongering where they say, oh my gosh, it's spreading. Watch out. Quarantine. Blah, 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 blah. I'm sure. And then there's going to be the side of this that's rational, which says, the chances of this virus as it stands, and they sequenced the genetics out of this human transmit, this case right here from cow to human. The chances of that being, you know, spread human to human, very, 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 very unlikely. And even the CDC is coming out and saying that. A person in Texas has tested positive for bird flu after being in contact with dairy cows that were likely infected with the virus. The individual's only reported symptom was eye redness, likely caused by an infection of the eye called conjunctivitis. They're isolating and being treated with an antiviral drug for influenza, according to the CDC. This is the second reported case of a human in the U.S. being affected with the type of highly pathogenic avian influenza called H5N1, and the first person likely to be infected by cows. The first human case in the U.S. was in 2022 and involved a prisoner in Colorado who had been culling infected poultry at a commercial farm as part of a pre-release employment program. Now it's spread from birds to cows. Health officials say the risk of humans being infected remains low, and that as milk is pasteurized before being sold, dairy products remain safe. The meat supply is also safe, and cooking meat to safe internal temperatures kills viruses like influenza. Now, I can go so many different ways with this. If I wanted to sit up here and just fear-monger you, they're trying to take away our food supply. They don't want us to eat meat. They don't want us to have raw milk. They don't want us to eat dairy. They've been, you know, we did a whole big series on the fires at, you know, chicken coops and chicken processing plants and all of that. So there's been a lot going on with the food supply. We could take it down that road, or we could stay right now very cautiously open-minded, paying attention to everything, a 30,000 foot view of what's going on. And that is what I'm doing right now. That's how I'm choosing to approach the story. Here's what the CDC knows. Let's go through what they're telling us as of today, or as of April 5th, which was a couple of days ago. H5N1 bird flu has been spreading in wild birds and causing outbreaks in poultry with infections and a growing number of other animals worldwide. It is now causing a multi-state veterinary outbreak in the US in a new animal, dairy cows. In addition, there has been one confirmed human infection in a person who works with cows. CDC has been tracking and evaluating H5N1 bird flu for decades and is actively engaged with these recent developments because H5N1 bird flu has the potential to affect more humans and become a more widespread problem. Preliminary epidemiologic and laboratory data are reassuring, leading CDC to conclude that the current H5N1 risk to the general public remains low. They're working with the USDA, the FDA, and state health departments to monitor people who may have been exposed to it by animals that are infected, test people who develop symptoms. They have updated and expanded their recommendations for the prevention and control to include measures for people that are exposed to other animals, including cows, that may be infected for the virus. The lab sequenced and analyzed the virus from the person who tested positive, published a summary of their findings, and provided the full sequence to the public database. The virus from the Texas human case is very similar compared to those from poultry and impacted cattle, with only a few minor changes. There is no evidence of genetic adaptation that would make this virus more likely to spread from person to person. Additionally, the virus is picked up by CDC tests, susceptible to currently available flu antiviral medications, and at this time, there is no sign of person-to-person spread of the virus. I, over the weekend, got, here's the technical update on it. It's very long, very complicated. Nothing that anybody here wants to read, but it's available. I got so many people emailing me articles over the weekend about how we're all going to die, that the bird flu is going to infect everyone. Not only is it going to infect and kill half the population, but it is also obviously going to affect the election. Like, just the most insane. Not that that's insane, that that couldn't happen, but we have zero. Don't give your energy to the fear-mongering. It gives it more power. The more energy you pour into being on social media, scared, sharing all kinds of shit all over the place, excuse my French, the more attention it gets, the more energy it gets. So I'm advising people to just cautiously watch what's going on. Now, the EU is a different story. They're taking a little bit of a different tack on this. The bird flu pandemic in the future, the EU warns of potential spread to humans due to lack of immune defense. Now, I'm going to say something. We have millions and millions and millions and millions of vaccinated people running around, and they don't have very healthy immune systems. My biggest concern would be for those folks. And I am concerned about them. As avian influenza continues to spread among wild birds in the EU, officials are warning of the potential for a future human pandemic. Because why wouldn't you take the opportunity to warn everybody to be afraid of something that hasn't happened yet? Why? On Wednesday, the European Food Safety Authority issued an alert noting that transmission between bird and mammal species has been observed, particularly in fur animal farms where outbreaks have been reported. Although it's rare for infected birds to pass along the virus to humans, the agency warned that new strains could pose a danger in the future. This will happen in the future. We know it. Humans don't have immunity against bird flu, which means it could potentially spread quickly. Humans don't really have immunity against any virus. Very few. Some cold viruses. They always mutate. This would be weird. To prevent the risk of a bird flu pandemic, the agency recommended taking steps to limit exposure and prevent the spread to mammals and humans. Key options for actions include enhancing surveillance targeting humans and animals. Always good to make sure you're spying on people more. Very important. Ensuring access to rapid diagnostics, promoting collaboration between animal and human sectors, and implementing preventative measures like vaccination. Why am I so moving? Like vaccination. Because you gotta have a vaccine for every virus. Wider bird flu spread raises concerns for humans, animal health body says. You see, this is the fear-mongering reporting you're going to get. We're concerned. The more you focus on the concern, the bigger the concern gets. The bigger it gets. The spread of bird flu to an increasing number of species and its widening geographic reach have raised the risks of humans being infected by the virus. Well, yeah, of course. Because the more animals are infected, the more humans are interacting with those animals. And here's the thing. From what I've learned about epidemiology, which is more than the average Joe, no offense to Joes out there. If somebody, like how COVID mutated in people with compromised immune systems, they can't fight the virus off. It mutates and it spreads inside of the immunocompromised host. Okay. Who knows what could happen here? Who knows what kind of crazy crap they're testing? I don't know. But what I'm trying to say is, here's the information. I'm giving it to you. We'll go through a little bit more as time goes on here. I'll give it to you. Nobody freak the F out and start going nuts. Everybody try, if you can, to take a deep breath and just look at it for what it is. We always talk about this. I'm going to bring up this example again, though. If you are living in the middle of nowhere and you're a homesteader and you're self-sufficient and you don't have internet, you don't have TV, and you live on a beautiful lake in the middle of the country where the trees are outside and you wake up in the morning and you hear the birds chirping and you go outside and you sit on your rocking chair on your porch and you rock back and forth and you watch the landscape and you see the fog over the water And then you go out and you tend to some of your crops and you tend to some of your animals and you collect the rainwater that you've been collecting for your drinking water. You go out and you service the well. And then you go back inside and, you know, you have your nice lunch from your sustainably picked, your self-sustaining vegetable farm. You get it. Think about this for a second. What a beautiful morning that would be. You've got your coffee. You got your beat up old pickup truck in the driveway. No TV, no internet. You have no freaking clue that there is a war in Israel, that there is, you know, gender ideology nonsense being put in our kids in school. You are living a generally very, very peaceful, loving, self-sustaining life. You do not know about the bird flu. The chances of you seeing bird flu are this: goose egg. So, think about it that way. And also, if you want, rewind that. Go through that exercise every day. If the prairie home is something that you'd enjoy in the morning, wake up, imagine yourself at the prairie home. The day is so much better. So much better. Anyway, so there's that. Everybody watch out. It's coming. It is coming. It is coming, 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 coming. And don't forget, they don't want you eating runny eggs, guys. Don't eat runny yolks. Health experts advise Americans to avoid eggs sunny side up because of bird flu fears. They have literally zero proof that any viral material will be in an egg yolk. They have zero proof of it. You can read through the article and see. They really don't know for sure, but just to be on the safe side, cook the living daylights out of your eggs. And also, guys, don't drink raw milk, okay? Raw milk will be very dangerous for you. Raw milk would be very dangerous for you. You shouldn't drink raw milk. According to CDC's interim recommendations, people should avoid unprotected exposure to sick or dead animals as well with animal carcasses, raw milk, feces, litter. I mean, I don't know how many of you guys are running around picking up some cow dung off the side of the road and smearing it all over yourselves, but the CDC wants you to know, stay away from the cow crap, okay? Stay away from the cow crap and don't drink raw milk. Also, if you are going to, because of limited information available, they have limited information available about the possible transmission of H5N1 in milk. They want you to just not drink the raw milk because they don't have enough information to tell you whether or not it is safe to drink the raw milk. You know that they've always told you how unsafe raw milk is. It's very, very bad for you. It could kill you, for goodness sakes. Don't drink raw milk. Probably one of the healthiest kinds of things you can drink from a cow. Well, good for you, Reese. Reese says she ate 3 runny eggs today. Fan-frickin-tastic. You continue doing that. And the worst part of all of this, before I get to the next slide or screen, is that nobody's going to believe a thing these idiots say, even if they're telling us the truth, like the boy who cried wolf. Nobody's going to believe anything. So we're basically on our own. Fine by me. Fine by me. Now, what is this going to do to the economy, guys? Chickens and cattle hit with massive bird flu outbreak. Will food prices go up? Food prices have been going up for years now, thanks Joe Biden. A highly contagious strain of bird flu is ripping through flocks of birds. Do you see the language they're using? I'm just trying to point this out to you because this is how they feed off your fear. It's ripping through. Populations are ripping, ripping right through. It's not just chickens anymore. Now, I think we're a little bit better than most farms and Canada because these farmers, when these birds get sick, they just kill them all. They slaughter them all. They slaughter them all. Anytime you hear the word rip today, you think of the fear-mongering. If you hear the word rip, I want you to think back to this show and the fear-mongering. We would expect to see some increase in prices because you're rapidly pulling a large number of potential eggs out of the market for the next 30 to 60 days. You know what you could do? A lot of places have chickens. Get a little chicken coop, stick it in your backyard. Raise your own chickens. Raise your own chickens. Get some eggs. Raise your own chickens. Get yourself a rooster. Wake yourself up early in the morning. Make sure you come to the pre-show. Make sure you come to the pre-show. If your rooster, your newly acquired rooster, awakens you early in the morning, get your booty to the Uncover DC pre-show at uncoverdc.locals.com. Nothing good will happen to you if you freak out about this. But Tedros has something to say. You want to hear what he has to say? I bet you're going to be so surprised.
Over the past few weeks, there have been several reports of mammals, including minks, otters, foxes, and sea lions, having been infected with H5N1 avian influenza. H5N1 has spread widely in wild birds and poultry for 25 years, but the recent spillover to mammals needs to be monitored closely. For the moment, WHO assesses the risk to humans as low. Since H5N1 first emerged in 1996, we have only seen rare and non-sustained transmission of H5N1 to and between humans. But we cannot assume that will remain the case, and we must prepare for any change in the status quo. As always, people are advised not to touch or collect dead or sick wild animals, but to report them to the local authorities. WHO is working with national authorities and partners to monitor the situation closely and to study cases of H5N1 infection in humans when they occur. WHO's Global Laboratory Network, the Global Influenza Surveillance and Response System, identifies and monitors strains of circulating influenza viruses and provides advice to countries on their risk to human health and available treatment or control measures. WHO recommends countries strengthen surveillance in settings where humans and farmed or wild animals interact. WHO is also continuing to engage with manufacturers to make sure that, if needed, supplies of vaccines and antivirals would be available for global use.
Yeah, so everybody just go get yourself shot up with the newest H5N1 vaccine, everyone. Go ahead, go out there. Be the first online. We all know how that works out. Just need to keep apprised of the situation, but don't allow them to control your emotions the way they've successfully done in the past. And I'll be honest, in the beginning of COVID, I was one of those people, in the very beginning, before we knew what that was, we got these pictures out of China, and Frank and I were talking about it. It was a little scary. Brand new novel coronavirus, people dropping dead on the streets. It was scary. It was real scary. And that fear fed into whatever the plan ended up being, multifaceted. So that's that story. Now I want to move on to the saga of, I just saw this come across my X feed yesterday, in the same vein as what we just listened to, Senior Airman Lance Castle from the Air Force. He refused the COVID vaccine. This is a video, if you guys are listening on the podcast, it'll be in the show notes for you to watch. This man was dubbed, as Mark Charles Bashaw says, an insider threat, giving 60 days pretrial confinement, missed the birth of his firstborn child, and sent to a court-martial to stand trial on 5 charges. He eventually, just recently, was found not guilty on all of them in the military court. Watch this. Just watch how they treat this dude. Watch.
Take your blanket off.
Go for
what?
So who's going for the blanket?
Are you choosing to be non-compliant?
You get one with.
Are you choosing to be non-compliant?
Get on the floor! Get on the floor! Get on the floor! Let's go! Let's go! Get on the floor! Let's go! become a fucking whore. Stop resisting.
Where's the handcuff? I need a handcuff right now.
Get his arm. I got it. Here, get the handcuff into the leg.
I need a handcuff. I'm going for his left arm. All right. Oh.
Stop resisting!
Just following orders,
stop
everyone.
Stop resisting! You will get tagged! You will get tagged!
All right, right there.
Just wait, just wait.
I got left cuff on.
Stop resisting or you will get tagged!
Ankles on! Do you hear me? Do not move. Do not move.
Can you imagine having to be the person that does this?
No!
I got whatever.
It goes on. They carry him out. They shackle his feet. I want to read this to you because it's super important. Because first I was like, maybe he actually, maybe he was belligerent and dangerous. Who knows? I'm gonna read it to you, Reese. I read this entire thing, and Reese is saying he had to have been done something else. And I thought the same thing. He was found not guilty. I mean, not guilty on everything they accused him of. That is rare. You probably know how rare that is. Here it is. I've become aware of an individual's involvement in not report. He's not reporting. That's the real problem, I think. He's just not reporting. That's an issue. But he has been vocally disparaging of every level of leadership within the IRS, Air Force, and U.S. government at large. He has told other airmen that they're going to hell. And the supervisor from his previous work center believes he may be an insider threat and that he has been potentially radicalized by an anti-US government group in the wake of his refusal to take the COVID vaccine. I believe he exhibits almost every indicator of insider threat and should not have access to any sensitive materials until after these pending actions are resolved. Based upon a review of DODM 5200.02_AFMAN 161405, it is determined that further evaluation is needed to determine the subject's eligibility to retain access to classified information or unescorted entry to restricted areas. And if you go through the charges, it says, currently I do intend to discharge the individual in accordance with whatever administrative discharge procedures, existing documentation that reflects the unfavorable information has been attached. New documentation and information and updated, developed, or received at a later date to include disciplinary or discharge actions will be provided. He had his, here's his charges, 85. He was accused of absenting himself from his place of duty at the Logistics Readiness Squadron Customer Service Section, found not guilty, which means that wasn't true. It wasn't true. Article 89. Did at or near Cannon Air Force Base, New Mexico, on or about February 6, 2023, behave himself with disrespect towards Lieutenant Colonel Enrique Vasquez, his superior commissioned officer in command and in rank, then known by the said senior airman Lance Castle to be his superior commissioned officer, by repeatedly interrupting him while he was talking to him, calling Colonel Vasquez a domestic threat, not guilty of Article 90. Having received a lawful command from Lieutenant Vasquez, his superior commissioned officer, then known by him to be his superior commissioned officer, to report to duty, did at or near Cannon Air Force Base, New Mexico, willfully disobey that order, not guilty. But they didn't happen, Reese. That's the thing. I've seen how military tribunals or military cases go. He's not guilty of all of this. Do you know how much evidence he has to have to prove his not guilt? He's not guilty. This didn't happen. It couldn't have happened. Not guilty. On divers occasions between December 2022 and January 2023, he was disrespectful in deportment towards Master Sergeant Carey, a non-commissioned officer. He also was accused of assaulting a senior airman. Not guilty. Not guilty of everything. This is more than, quote, not taking the vaccine, but I can guarantee you the reason this all happened is because he refused to take the vaccine and he was loud about it. So they found other crap they could potentially charge him with. Then this happened. Not guilty on all counts. So, not guilty. I'm going to dig more into that, see what's really going on here, but it feeds into this next thing. Now, I don't think this is actually very new at all. It's about a month old, and I think it was older than that. But the federal government has been illegally surveilling and building profiles for Americans in a secret portal called DSAC. The potential for shifts in various policies may perceive to oppose or threaten their ideological goals and agendas or feed into existing narratives many DVEs subscribe to regarding the U.S. government's exercise of power, influence, and initiatives, possibly including, if you've ever talked about any of these things, firearm legislation, the easing of immigrant restrictions, and new limits on the use of public land. They could be discontent with renewed measures to mitigate the spread of COVID-19, the ordered dissemination of COVID-19 vaccines, and the efficacy or safety of COVID-19 vaccines. Steve says the FBI and the DHS authored a document describing the next evolution of domestic terrorism, anti-government, anti-authority, violent extremism, or agave. These are defined as people with the perception of government overreach, negligence, or illegitimacy. So if you perceive the government to be overreaching, you are now considered an agave. You don't want to be an agave. It's very bad. No agaves out there. Don't be one of them. And I don't know if you guys are following any of the stuff that's going on in Brazil with X and Elon Musk. The Brazilian Supreme Court just basically told Elon Musk that if he is to allow the users that the Supreme Court in Brazil has determined should not be on X to be on X, he's going to be fined every single day for each user. And from what I understand, Elon Musk is basically saying, screw you, fine me. Moving right along. On the same vein of doubting the efficacy and doubting the government and doubting what they're telling us is true, like many Americans do today, all of us are apparently a threat somehow. I'm the most peaceful person on earth. My goodness. We have First Amendment rights. But here, listen to this new Paxlovid study.
Not be so mighty after all. A study published in the New England Journal of Medicine on Wednesday suggests the antiviral drug does little or nothing for both fully vaccinated or unvaccinated people who have at least one risk factor for severe COVID. It did little to shorten the duration of symptoms. It is still unclear as to Paxlovid's impact on patients 65 years and older, as that group only accounted for under 6% of the study subjects. Participants recorded daily symptom severity on a 4-point scale. 0 was absent, 1 was mild, 2 moderate, and 3 severe. The included symptoms were cough, shortness of breath or difficulty breathing, feeling feverish, had chills or shivering, muscle or body aches, diarrhea, nausea, vomiting, headache, sore throat, and stuffy or runny nose.
Adults who had confirmed COVID-19 with symptom onset in the past 5 days were randomly assigned with Paxlovid or a placebo to take every 12 hours for 5 days. Patients who were fully vaccinated against COVID and patients who had never been vaccinated against COVID were eligible for participation in the study. Now, kind of shocking that a drug that costs $1,300 for a 5-course is showing in a randomized controlled trial to not really relieve COVID symptoms. That's a lot of money to...
Not only did it not relieve COVID symptoms, but it caused rebound COVID. Meaning if you took this and you started to feel better, it came back worse afterwards. So yeah, go ahead and get that flu antiviral, that bird flu antiviral. Go ahead and grab that up. Get ready to put that right down the hopper. This is an NEJM study. And of course, the people are out underneath trying to say that Chief Nerd here is actually lying about the conclusion of the study. But it says it right here. The time to sustained alleviation of all signs and symptoms of COVID-19 did not differ significantly between participants who received another drug and those who received, or I'm sorry, Paxlovid, which is Lovid, which is very complicated to pronounce, because why not? Why wouldn't they make it complicated to pronounce? And placebo. There was no difference between anyone who took placebo or Paxlovid. And you want to know the thing that bothered me? In the beginning, when this first came out, McCullough was recommending it to people. Like, haven't you learned anything? Why are you recommending Paxlovid? I actually asked him about it in an interview. He stopped. He's since stopped. But Americans are addicted to prescription medication, guys. No matter what it is, they want the easy out, the easy fix. Desperate Zepbound customers drive 5 hours for $1,000 weight loss drug as U.S. is hit by shortage and placed on back order. This is in the same category of the Ozempic, Wegovy weight loss drug. The thing that is, this is so bad for you. A lot of people are taking it. I've seen reports of what this is doing to folks, paralyzing their digestive system. It's just not good. But there's a shortage now, and people are freaking out that they can't get their hands on it. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And one last thing we're going to talk about today before we go is this electric vehicle thing. You guys don't understand what just happened, but if you like your car, good luck keeping it. Biden's EV mandate drives change people don't want. Sales of electric vehicles all across the country are down significantly. Major manufacturers are not making them anymore. They're sitting on their lots. Nobody's buying them. Nobody wants them. Few people do. Very, 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 very large bulk of the population does not want to drive an electric vehicle, okay? In 2000, Biden's not even bothering to promise the American people that if they like their car, they can keep it. But he's also not being upfront with the public about what his new Environmental Protection Agency rule actually means. The headline announcing the EPA mandate last month proclaims, Biden-Harris administration finalizes strongest ever pollution standards for cars that position U.S. companies and workers to lead the clean vehicle future, protect public health, address the climate crisis, and save drivers money. If you like your current gas-powered car, SUV, or truck, too bad. This basically, it takes place in 2027. It demands that automakers quickly amp up the production of electric vehicles. By 2032, emission standards dictates that roughly 70% of new vehicle sales be battery-powered electrics or hybrids. For comparison, they made up just 8% of new car sales last year. So what they basically do, they don't say you need to drive an electric vehicle or manufacturers must produce them. They make the emission standards so stringent that you can't produce a gas-powered car underneath those restrictions. Brenda Goldstein wrote this for Highwire on December 6th. All of the stakeholders, 26 states, the energy, agriculture, and automotive industries have come forward saying the new fuel standards increase consumer costs and put an unfair burden on U.S. businesses. They were fighting against this tooth and nail. A coalition of over 3,000 auto dealers in all 50 states composed an open letter to President Biden asking him to tap the brakes on his EV push. They're ideal for many people, and we believe their appeal may grow over time. But although there was a lot of hope and hype about EVs last year, now that they're stacking up on the lots due to lessened enthusiasm by the consumer, even with price cuts, they don't think it's the greatest idea. They don't think it's very smart. I'm going to save some of this stuff for next week or Wednesday. So we'll stop here. And just a couple of notes real quick. If you guys appreciate the show, if you like the show, if you like what we do at Uncover DC, please head over to uncoverdc.com/support and throw us a little tip, money for a coffee in the morning. whatever you can. It's so wildly helpful to us. You can do that on Rumble too. You can subscribe to our Locals for the year. You can get the pre-show 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. That's uncoverdc.locals.com. We are in a push. You'll start to see a lot of new things happening at Uncover DC. A lot of journalism churning out. Lots of churn going on over here. I will be on with Tommy Lahren at 1 o'clock to discuss the news of the day. It's Eclipse Day, guys. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Don't forget to think about the prairie home, and don't fall prey to the fear. And we will be back here on Wednesday. God bless you, and I love you.